Have you ever noticed how you don't need to teach your children to lie? According to Scripture, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. Indeed, I witnessed this in my own household with one of my boys who will remain nameless. I could tell from how he was running that day that he needed a diaper change. So I said to him, "Okay, time to change your bum." To which he replied, "No." "Are you disobeying Daddy?" I asked. To which I again received a resounding no. I explained to my son that whenever we say no to a command from someone in authority, we are disobeying. And that therefore his second no had been a lie. I then proceeded to explain to him while changing his diaper that when we become known for lying, no one can know for sure or not whether we are telling the truth. And therefore, no one will trust you. I'm not sure he locked into everything I was saying that day, but I'm pretty sure he got the idea that lying is bad. What did I get from the experience? I got a stark reminder that deception begins early in life. Here was a boy with no bladder control, trying to control the consequences that might come his way through lying. And I no doubt did the exact same thing. Last week, we noted how the Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 10 divide neatly into four collections by means of a literary device known as the inclusio. An inclusio is a bracketing structure that marks off the boundaries of a text and point to its overarching theme. According to Duane Garrett, verses 6 and 11 form an inclusio as indicated by the repetition of the line, "But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." This concealing is deceit. The major emphasis of this second collection of Proverbs. In fact, I want you to pay close attention as we look at our text for this morning to how many times you encounter a reference to deceit. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 6 to 11. Please follow along now as I read. "Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." How many references did you find to deceit in that text? I found four. The mouth of the wicked conceals violence in verse 6. He who makes his ways crooked will be found out in verse 9. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, verse 10, and the mouth of the wicked conceals violence again in verse 11. Deceit, 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 deceit. That means that the references to the mouth of the righteous in our text focus primarily on the virtue of honesty, insofar as they stand in stark contrast with the references to the mouth of the wicked who practice deceit. Eugene Peterson sought to bring this home in his paraphrase of the scriptures known as the Message. In fact, verses 6, 7, and 9 in the Message read as follows. Blessings accrue on a good and honest life, but the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. A good and honest life is a blessed memorial. A wicked life leaves a rotten stench. Honesty lives confidently and carefree, but shifty is sure to be exposed. Tell me, does honesty mark your life, or does shiftiness and deceit? And how can you get an accurate read on yourself when the scriptures are quick to tell you that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Well, to answer these questions, let's dig into our text, where we find an analysis of the nature and fruit of deception vis-a-vis honesty. First, let's consider deception. The deception of the wicked conceals violence, but it will be found out and will lead to ruin and infamy. Again, the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So important is this thought to Solomon that he uses it to frame his discussion of deceit and honesty, beginning in verse 6 and ending in verse 11. As Matthew Henry notes, these words underscore how industrious a bad man is by concealing his badness to do hurt with it. The mouth of the wicked covers violence. It disguises the designed mischief with professions of friendship, that it may be carried on the more securely and effectually, as Joab kissed and killed, Judas kissed and betrayed. And maybe you've done that sort of thing too. Using your words or actions like a deceptive cover to cover violent thoughts and violent intents. Maybe even just to cover over selfish thoughts and selfish intents. Whatever the case may be, know that your deception will be found out, verse 9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked through deception will be found out. Daniel Southern, who served on the Billy Graham evangelistic team for almost 20 years, comments on these verses, describing an important lesson he learned about verbal honesty that was seared on his consciousness. A dishonest life, he says, is full of rot and will be exposed, causing you great embarrassment. It is not a question of if, but when you will be exposed. A friend of mine, Southern says, wanted to come visit me for the weekend, but had responsibilities at his church that needed his attention. In order to get permission to leave, he told the entire congregation that I had been hurt in a car accident and he was needed at my bedside. Someone in the audience knew a girl I was dating and found out that my friend was lying. What an embarrassment when the truth leaked out. And even though Southern doesn't mention it, I've got to believe that there were painful consequences as well for this dishonesty. After all, as both verse 8 and 10 make clear, a babbling fool will come to ruin. Kathleen Nielsen contrasts the babbling fool with the fountain of life mentioned in verse 11. Picture that beautifully shaped, life-giving fountain we just saw in verse 11, she says. Then, by contrast, picture water bubbling uncontrolled. That's what the wicked person's words are like. Even though the wicked person is described repeatedly as concealing evil behind his words still bubble forth. He's a babbling fool, and when words are many, transgression is not lacking. My grandfather used to have a plaque in his basement which read, "Even a fish wouldn't get into trouble if he learned to keep his mouth shut." And there's wisdom there. The more we talk, the greater our chance that some of our words will be untrue, deceptive even. And we do not want to come to ruin. Less still, we do not want our names to forever rot. According to verse 7, the memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wicked who conceal violence with their mouths, their names will rot. Or, perhaps better, will live in infamy. Think of the name Benedict Arnold. Familiar with that name? I got some blank stares. That's all right. Benedict Arnold fought with distinction for the American Continental Army, rose to the rank of Major General before defecting to the British side of the conflict in 1780. Arnold's name has, for generations, become synonymous with traitor. You're a Benedict Arnold! Benjamin Franklin wrote that Judas sold only one man, Arnold, 3 millions. Alexander Scammell described Arnold's actions as black as hell. And in Arnold's hometown of Norwich, Connecticut, someone scrawled the word traitor next to his record of birth at City Hall. And all of his family's gravestones have been destroyed except for his mother's. The deception of the wicked conceals violence, but it will be found out and will lead to ruin and infamy. Contrarywise, the honesty of the righteous is a fountain of life that results in both personal security and blessing. Let's begin again with verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Contextually, the focus here is on the honesty that comes from the mouth of the righteous. It is a life-giving honesty. It is speaking the truth in love to one another, the way Paul urged the Ephesians to do in Ephesians 4, verse 15. Whether that be loving words of encouragement or gentle words of rebuke. We speak the truth in such a way as to leave a good taste in people's mouths. This, of course, leads to the memory of the righteous being a blessing, verse 7. Think back on the people in your own life who have consistently spoken the truth to you in love. Even if they are now gone, their memory is a blessing to you, isn't it? I think of my mother, my grandparents, pastors and mentors that I have had along the way. Each a blessing for speaking the truth in love. Now, not only does a good and honest life lead to your memory being a blessing, but blessings will accrue to you while you are still alive as well. That's what verse 6 says. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. The blessings here are unspecified, but must include, to use this world's terms, honor, respect, love, devotion, influence, success, and even wealth. In terms of Deuteronomy 28, it is being blessed in the city and blessed in the country, being blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. We are thinking of thriving families, abundant crops, plenty of livestock, a surplus to eat, victory over enemies leading to peace, enough to lend to others, being the head, not the tail. And then we remind ourselves that these are proverbs. This is generally the case. As you live a good and honest life, you will find that by and large, the Lord has ordered this world to reward such. Live a life of sin, evil, and deception, and you will find that you constantly need to keep track of all your lies, and if you don't, things unravel rather quickly, and you do not prosper. You are not blessed. We get a taste of this in verse 9 when we read that whoever walks in integrity walks securely. That, by and large, is the way life is set up. Your feet will not slip. You can walk confidently and carefree. But that's only half of the story. In fact, it's a smaller fraction even than that. Because the blessings that accrue to the man or woman who lives a good and honest life are not limited to the physical realm alone. In spiritual terms, the righteous know God's blessing in this life, being God's holy people. Their sins are forgiven. They enjoy peace with God, communion with Him as sons, answers to prayer, and the joy of walking with Him. These blessings go on beyond death as they meet with Christ and enter heaven itself to enjoy its delights forever and ever. At this point, you may be wondering, how does a wicked mouth become a righteous mouth? I mean, I see my bent toward deceit, toward lying, toward deception, and I don't like where that goes. I want instead to know the blessing that the honest man knows, both in this life and in the next. How do I get there? The answer is found in verse 8. The wise of heart will receive commandments. Think God's commandments. Think of the Ten Commandments. Think particularly of the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. If your heart will receive this commandment, truly receive this commandment, you will change. Your wicked mouth will become a righteous mouth, and you will no longer be marked by deceit. But that right there is my problem, you say. My heart will not receive God's commandments, so what do I do? Answer, you look to God for a divine heart transplant. In Ezekiel 36, the prophet is commissioned by God to speak to the house of Israel, saying, "Thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which you have profaned among the nations and which you have profaned among them. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit, my Holy Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Jeremiah talks about how the Lord will put his law within us and write it on our hearts. In both cases, the prophets are looking toward the new covenant, the covenant which Jesus proclaimed at the Last Supper would be ratified by his blood. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he paid both the debt that was owed for our past transgressions and deceit, as well as the hospital bill for our heart transplant. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead to demonstrate to all that both the debt and the bill had been paid for in full. And now the invitation is open. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Saved from sin, saved from death, saved from hell, and saved from your heart of stone that will not receive the Lord's commands. With a new heart, you will be able to live a life marked by honesty rather than deceit, and thereby know God's blessing on your life rather than the promised ruin and rot of the deceitful. Now, next Thursday, which is Good Friday, there will be a Mother's Day meeting for fathers only. Admission is free, so pay at the door. Pull up a seat and sit on the floor. The topic to discuss, ever befitted, a crime that has not been committed. One fine day in the middle of the night, two dead boys got up to fight. Back to back, they faced each other, drew their swords, and shot each other. One was blind, and the other couldn't see, so they chose a dummy for a referee. A blind man went to see fair play. A mute man went to shout hooray. A paralyzed donkey passing by kicked the dummy in the eye, knocked him through a 9-inch wall into a dry ditch, and drowned them all. A deaf policeman heard the noise and came up and shot those two dead boys. And if you don't believe the lie I tell, ask the blind man. He saw it as well. Lies are everywhere. Deceit is everywhere. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. And what Solomon wants us to see is that the deception of the wicked, which conceals violence, will be found out and will lead to ruin and infamy, while the honesty of the righteous, which is a fountain of life, will result in both personal security and blessing. Brothers and sisters, the wise of heart will receive commandments and determine that honesty will mark their lives, paying scrupulous attention to maintaining it at all times, no matter what the cost. Is your heart wise? If not, then come to Christ for a heart transplant today.